This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. This is the QDAM Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you in part by Acme Party Intent. Here's Quinton Demps with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
You guys will be around for the Super Bowl?
Okay. All right. Time for the QDAM Show.
Yeah,
out here at Saltgrass in Sugarland. You want to meet Texan safety Quinton Demps. I guess technically still Texan safety, right?
Or? Yeah, till March.
Till March 1st.
Yeah, come on out, man. Drinks on me. All the water you can get, for sure.
Damn. The sparkling kind or tap water on?
No, tap water on.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't want you to have to foot the bill for all that, so I'll pay for half of that.
Quinton did say that the drinks would be on him if they beat the Patriots.
I did say that.
So, I don't remember what happened in that game, but I'm
we lost.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
Man.
There was a certain safety that didn't play, though, you noticed that he wasn't out there.
Right.
I'm not trying to take a crap on Corey Moore, but there were some times when I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, he could have had a couple.
They needed that dude. They needed you out there at a couple key times in that game. By the end of it, one or two plays wasn't really the difference in the game.
By the end of it, yeah. But
early
time,
in that game,
that
okay, I'll ask you this first.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can ask it that way, but were you at all surprised that the Texans were, even with the offense did not play well in the first half, that the game was still so tight at halftime? I mean, you guys were absolutely still in that game, despite really getting nothing out of the offense.
Despite the kickoff return, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of surprising, a lot of things are going our way, but.
Because you would have thought, man, to beat this team, we're going to have to play our best game.
Yeah.
And the first half
best game.
At least on the offensive side, was clearly not the best game.
Yeah, and it was still close.
But the defense played pretty damn well. I mean, that was to be expected. That's what you guys have done all year.
Right.
But it got away from them in the second half.
Yeah.
Just the Patriots team, too complete, really, to hang with for too long. But when you're on the sideline of a game like that, and obviously this was a huge game for you. I mean, you play all season to get to this moment.
Yeah, it's the biggest game of the season.
I mean, when did you actually decide, I can't go? Was it the day of? Did you try and test it out day of? And then they were like, it's just not going to work.
I think it was the day before we traveled.
Okay.
And again, I had tried to play, after the Tennessee game, the Oakland game. And it would kind of be the same thing, kind of rushing it again. And it was just like, the same thing's going to happen. It's not ready yet.
If you could go back, would you have set out that Oakland game?
Yes. That's what I should have did.
Yeah.
My body told me that, too. Sit out this game. But it's playoffs, man. You try to, try to push it, and I just wanted to play. I wanted to be,
Now, I say that, in hindsight, it's easy to say, I should have done that. But next year, the same situation, you think you'll be able to tell yourself?
Oakland Raiders with no David Carr against us at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to sit out.
You'll sit out? Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Just make it sure.
If David Carr's playing, though, I got to
No,
push.
Derek Carr. If Derek Carr's playing.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
If David Carr's playing,
my bad.
You don't
if
even
Derek's
have
playing,
you're probably
push.
Okay. You don't got anything to worry about. You'll be okay. Trust me.
Yeah.
So the team ends up losing. What's the mood in the locker room, the flight home? I mean, is it the feel of, you know what, guys, we did our best, this was a good season for us, or was it doom and gloom, just sort of a bummer flight?
It was a bummer flight, man, just only because, man, we played them so tough the first half. We had some breaks go our way, some things went our way, we just didn't capitalize at the end. Had a touchdown ball dropped, stuff like that. So we knew we had them, and, so it was a bummer. It was a bummer, for sure.
When you look back on the season as a whole, obviously didn't get where you wanted to go, but you lost to a team that we just saw – beat the crap out of the Steelers, too.
Yeah.
Probably the best team in the AFC.
Right.
In the end, successful season? Happy with the season? Satisfied? Or
I think it's progress from last year.
Okay.
We lost a home playoff game last year. We won one this year. So we can only continue to get better. It's a better season than last year. And that's how you kind of compare it. How did we do last year? I think we did better than last year. So it's successful to me.
It's a weird time for a lot of the guys on the team, and you and A.J. Boye specifically, at least in your position group, where you don't know what your future is with this team. That may have been the last game you play as a Texan.
Right.
And, when you think about that, does it sort of is it a good feeling, I've had a great time here with these guys, or is it like an uneasy feeling of not knowing if there's going to be a next time with them?
You know, it's still early. I think the uneasiness comes, you know, later on in the offseason when you really become a free agent.
Like, yeah.
You know. But right now, I'm still kind of, you know, part of the Texans, still part of the team. And, you know, we went out to eat the other day with the DBs, and so I still feel like a Texan. And, you know, so it's hard to tell right now. Right now, I'm still excited.
In your mind, what are the chances that the Texans bring you back and you're back here in 2018 or 2017, rather?
You just never know, man. NFL is so, you know, so unpredictable.
Right.
You know, you just never know. I don't know. I couldn't even give you, a percentage.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't give you a percentage.
Have they given you any indication that they're
– I mean, of course, you know, in the meetings, you know, the exit meetings, you know, say they want to get me back, stuff like that, but you just never know.
At the end of the year, you look at yourself, I guess those exit meetings, what's being said in the exit meeting about your performance this year? Because I feel like
it's probably exceeded expectations. It's no secret. You know, I had a good season. I had a really good year, you know, especially at the end. So I finished really strong, you know, and that's what was said in the meetings. You know, you finished strong. I'm proud of you. You had a good year.
I'm guessing the same thing, and I'm guessing you weren't in the meeting with AJ, but I'm guessing the same thing got said about him.
No question.
And you know, sometimes it's – I don't know if it's always just the luck of the draw that guys seem to have big years during a contract year, but I also believe maybe effort – max effort during a regular season is a 9, and then max effort during a contract season might be a 10. But
right.
Both of you guys – I would say you guys were the two best players in the secondary most of this season, and they've got decisions to be made on both of you. Like, do you – just from a realistic standpoint – pretty much say, man, there's no way we're both going to be back here next year.
I can't say that.
Really?
Yeah, I can't say that.
I mean, it would be, you know, the cap situation,
yeah,
things like
that's
that.
True. That's true.
It's going to be very difficult for both of you guys to be back on
really,
this team next
really
year.
It really will. You know,
so, I mean, even from that perspective, I'm
so,
saying, man.
More so from his perspective, though, because he's about to get a really, really good bag.
Because he's, I mean, if you were his age, I think you'd be
no
in the
question.
Same in the same conversation.
Yeah, if I was his age, it wouldn't be no question.
But, yeah, sure. your number will probably not end up being what his is.
Because
but
of the age.
Yeah, right. But his, I mean, he's going to get big-time dough from somebody.
He's 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he better get big time.
What do you think, and we've heard this, the comparisons to the season he had, compared that to what Josh Norman did last year. Do you think those are
Nah. Well, you know, minus the interceptions. I think Josh had like, what, 5, 6, maybe? But just to see him, man, he's undrafted, you know. Just to see his growth, though, man, was encouraging. I told you guys a while back, man, like in OTAs, you know, it started in OTAs with this guy. Like, we saw it, we like, man, who is this guy? Yeah. You know, and just to see that go throughout the whole season, man, is very encouraging.
Is that a guy, and I know you thrive on that underdog role,
yeah.
You know, that being the guy who basically came from nowhere and has made a career. When you see a guy like that, an undrafted free agent who's, you know, basically a lot of people thought wasn't even going to make the team a year ago and now is about to get paid, is that sort of like the kind of story that you really attach yourself to?
Yeah, I mean, I like it, you know. I could see it. It's no secret. Like, in all honesty, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but his locker is right next to mine.
Right. So he may be looking at you as a
I've dropped a few nuggets a few times. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's a lot easier to relate to a guy like him than a guy like Kareem Jackson, who went to Alabama, was a first-round pick, and everybody knew it was going to be.
Everybody's journey is different. So, yeah, the underdog journey is, you know, definitely what I relate to for sure. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to play Rick Smith for a minute. Although.
Really?
Much more.
Yeesh.
I'm going to say a much more competent Rick Smith, but that's just me.
All right.
2 years, 7.5, with 3.75 guaranteed.
How much am I getting assigned, Rick?
You're going to get
You said 3.75.
You call him
guaranteed.
Rick or Mr. Smith?
Rick.
Damn.
Well, yeah,
you got it like that.
You're getting 3.75 guaranteed.
3.75 guaranteed?
Yeah.
Nah, Rick, I can't do that.
Okay.
Really?
I can't do 3.5.
Okay. What's your counter offer then, Mr. Demps?
I need five.
You're looking for five guaranteed.
Five guaranteed.
On a 2-year deal?
2-year deal. Hopefully.
I'll get you four.
Four guaranteed?
Yeah.
Four guaranteed.
Let's stop right here because I don't want them listening and your agent's got
to
deal with this.
Sleep on that, man.
All right. All right. Talk to your wife about it. Yeah. Come back. We'll get this done.
Realistic.
You want to be here, though, right?
I do.
You feel like the scheme and the coaching staff, everything fits you well?
Everything fits me perfectly, yeah.
What do you think of the change that they've made, and how much of a change is it going to be with Romeo Crennel being the assistant head coach and Mike Vrabel being the defensive coordinator, are you guys expecting the scheme to change, or is this sort of just a way to give, as you would say, to put some respect on Mike Vrabel?
Yeah, I think it's just more so just that, you know, kind of Romeo passing the torch, you know, making sure he stays for a little bit to make sure the torch is still burning type thing. I think we love Mike. Mike is going to be great fit. The scheme won't change. We're going to be doing the same stuff. So, I'm excited about it.
Do you think is Romeo still going to be involved in the play calling? Have you heard yet how that's going to be set up?
No, I don't think so, though. Why would he?
Got to do something over there.
You got to throw Mike in the fire, man.
Okay.
Let him have the rain.
How do you think he'll do calling plays?
I think he'd be good. I think he'd be good.
Were you surprised that that Coach Gotti was let go at the end of the season?
Nah, you know what? Nothing surprises me in this league anymore. I've been around too long. I've seen it all, heard it all. It doesn't surprise me.
I'll ask you this question. We've talked about it quite a bit, specifically after you guys lost.
Yeah.
Of course, the wheels start turning on what can happen next. And the idea of J.J. Watt being traded at some point.
Who said that?
Well, listen. You've got the internet.
Is that legit?
You've got Twitter. No, it's not legit because it's almost financially. It's almost impossible. But people said on social media, things like that.
Three-time MVP
because he had a back surgery.
Defensive MVP.
You don't know if he'll ever be the same player.
Or was the MVP of the league?
He was Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay. Why would you trade that?
Because you don't know if he'll ever be the same player.
How old is he?
Is he 26?
Oh, that's too early.
But you also saw that this year the Texans were great defensively without him.
Right.
So if you can be great on defense without him, and he could net you – and obviously the only thing you would even consider moving him for, if it were possible, would be a quarterback, a franchise-level quarterback.
Yeah.
If you could do that and you could add a franchise quarterback – and have the same defense that you had this year, the Texans are contenders, right?
Right, but, the defense was really good. But compare us to the Bears, compare us to the Ravens that one year. Can we compare them if he was there? Can we be even better?
You could be on
with
that.
Him there.
You could possibly be on that if he returns at 100%.
When he returns at 100%.
You're pretty sure of that, huh?
Why wouldn't he?
That guy had multiple back surgeries.
Yo, Thomas Davis had 3 ACL surgeries. He is an animal.
An ACL is not a back.
It don't matter. It's your will as a speed guy.
That's true. But J.J. Watt's not a speed guy.
Well, you're back. He can recover from this, is what I'm saying.
You're 100%
sure. 1,000%
sure. All right. When you hear he's ahead of schedule and things like that, as a guy who you just said, I wish I would have waited. Do you want to tell
J.J.? I'm
just
glad he's taking his time now.
Slow down.
He has a lot of time now.
Be on schedule. Don't worry about being ahead of schedule.
He knows from last year he won't rush this time.
Okay.
Guarantee he won't rush.
That you think that's for him, that's got to be he's got to look back at that God, what was I thinking?
Yeah, me too. And mine wasn't even as major as his, but, you look back man, I knew it.
Something
told me to be just –
It's got to be so difficult to balance that competitive fire. You want to be out there, but also just having some common sense to say, man, it's not time yet.
Yeah.
It's not time yet. Your body just isn't ready.
Yeah.
All right, we got so much to talk about with Quinn. I want to talk to him about these games from this weekend. I think he's got some takes on all of them. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the upcoming game. We've got so much to discuss. Jong, I forgot what I'm supposed to be talking
about.
Window World. That's it. Even though Jong said it loud, I still forgot.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank you, Fred. Got to tell the people about Window World. Listen, if you're looking for a way to add value to your home, long-term value to your home, Window World is a great way to do it. Not only are they providing premium quality replacement windows at a great price, but they've got energy-saving windows that are made right here in the USA to carry the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. They become the country's number one window company because they offer a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, and a low price that starts at just $189. The first step to reducing your energy bills, Window World of Houston. Give them a call to schedule your free written estimate. No hassles, no high pressure. It's a free estimate, guys. You got nothing to lose. They're going to come out. They'll tell you what the job will cost. If you say no, they pack up and leave. You say yes, they can usually get that job done pretty quickly, guys. Window World, 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com, 713-439-1172. Window World, simply the best for less.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. This is the Q-Dem Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you in part by Acme Party Intent. Here's Quinton Demps with Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
We are back. The Q-Dem Show. I sure hope those mics were off when we were doing
Me too.
That.
Me too.
Just a quick programming note. Jerome Solomon will be filling in for me tomorrow.
All right.
Attempt to close on my freaking house finally.
I'll be working with Jerome. I always like working
with Jerome.
Congrats
on the house, man.
Thanks, man. It's going to be pretty cool. Living down in Edo. So
Fred's a big baller.
Got the downtown life going, man.
Nice. So. Yeah. He's not selling his River Oaks house. He's going to keep it. And he's moving into a new house downtown. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing an appearance at the Capitol Bar on the Saturday before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun, man.
Yeah, it'll be good.
It's going to be an interesting week. I'm sure you got a lot of stuff planned. You probably got a bunch of people coming in town.
No, not really. Yeah. Not really. I got a lot of appearances I got to do, though. Right. I got a lot of stuff going on.
What's it like? Well, probably for you, it's a lot of extra money with it being here. Do you go when it's like, were you in San Francisco last year?
No, I don't go all the time. I went maybe one other time when it was in New York. But other than that, it's my first time really going to be like, you know, in the mix.
You gonna try to go to the actual game?
Nah.
Not too much?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wouldn't mind. I thought about it, but
Have you been to one? Have you like been
not,
to
not a Super Bowl?
Okay,
no. Never been to one.
What you like when you went to New York? What were you doing up there? Like what? Was
yeah,
the,
like just doing events, like yeah. Radio Row.
Was it all stuff your agent had set up for you?
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
Are you gonna be doing that this year?
Yeah,
too?
I'll be doing the same thing this year.
Okay,
yeah.
You gonna be on Radio Row then?
Yeah, I'll be there. You gonna be there too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure you come by and talk to us.
Yeah, no question.
Okay,
family. Laugh at me.
All right. Don't talk to our competitors, though.
Yeah.
These guys are bad news, man. They'll put that bad juju on you.
Bad juju.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't want to pay you either.
You know who talked to them last year?
Who?
Osweiler.
Oh, dude. Oh, get out of here.
Look what happened.
You crazy.
You want man. That on you? That's Go ahead.
Hey, that's my quarterback, man. I'm talking about my quarterback. That's my quarterback.
I don't know if he'd be your quarterback if you had to catch the ball from him.
Well, all right, did you watch the games yesterday?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were boring, though. Well, the Atlanta game was pretty fun because they were scoring points.
All these games.
Steelers are so bad.
There's been two good games.
They played bad yesterday.
Two good games in the entire playoffs.
Yeah.
And one of them wasn't even really a good game. It was just a close game. The Chiefs-Steelers game was close.
The what's the name, too? Green Bay-Dallas.
That was the only good game of the whole playoffs.
Right. Right.
I mean, I don't know what's going on with the NFL.
Chiefs Steelers was the other one, right?
It was. I mean, it was close, so at least there was some drama to it.
Yeah,
but it wasn't a fun game to watch by any means. Yeah. So there haven't been many competitive games.
Yeah,
it's just been kind of it's been ho hum
blowouts. Right?
I feel like they really need a good Super Bowl out of this thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll get one too.
When you watched the Falcons Packers game, did you have a pick going in? Did you have a feeling on who was going to win?
Yeah, I knew Atlanta would win. Yeah,
I mean. Being a secondary guy, and this is the reason why I was heavy on Atlanta, I said Green Bay's secondary is so beat up.
Yeah, they're not playing well.
That if you let Dak Prescott throw for 300 on you.
Matt Ryan's going to kill you.
Matt Ryan's going to have a day.
Right.
And Matt Ryan had a day.
He had a day.
They had no answer for Julio Jones and really didn't have any answer for anybody on that offense.
Right.
When you see an offense like that clicking – how difficult is it to even game plan for? Because we talked about the Patriots and off the air. We were talking about how the Patriots basically once Bell got hurt, it became easy for them to take away Antonio Brown, and if somebody was going to beat him, it was going to be some no name dude.
Yeah, right.
The Falcons have so many guys that even if the Patriots were to take away Julio Jones, there's so many other guys that can beat him. And even if Devontae Freeman were to get hurt.
They got
Tevin Coleman. I mean, they're so stacked
on that
side of the ball.
That's tough to plan for.
It's hard to deal with, right?
Right. Yeah.
You think the Patriots stylistically are going to be able to do that?
I don't know. We'll see. I think the OC. I think Kyle Shanahan is going to have to call a really really good game. Like he got to really spread them out. Then he got to get in two back like he did last game. Like it was kind of like a lot of different formations. You know, early. I think six different guys touched the ball on the first drive, the first touchdown. touchdown drive.
I think Green Bay might be, or not Green Bay, Atlanta might be a little underrated in the secondary. And they have really on the defense in general. Like, yes. Some of the numbers for like the if you just say pass defense, they're pretty low down on the list.
Yeah.
But a lot of that you have to consider, they play in the highest scoring games.
And they play the Saints twice a year,
and,
right?
And, yep, mm-hmm. And teams are just chasing them constantly.
Panthers twice a year.
You know, teams are chasing them, so they're throwing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
When I watch that team with my eyes, I say, you know, that's a pretty good secondary. That's a pretty good defense.
Yeah.
They've got the league leader in sacks to rush the
Vic
passer.
Beasley, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that defense may be a little bit underrated.
I can see that.
They got better as the year went on. That was the thing. If you look at their first half stats, that's when they were really low. You look at the second half of the season, they played that zone though.
They play a lot of zone now. You got to play man against the Patriots. You got to kind of mix it up, but you really got to be man to man on Edelman. You can't let these guys get open in the middle of a zone.
I was talking.
Brady's going to eat you alive.
Yeah, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. I said, I mean, I know the Steelers. They are what they are, and you know, maybe they thought that they could do what they do better than the Patriots could do what they
do.
But like when I say the Steelers should have gotten into a man-to-man, it's mostly because the Patriots, from an athleticism standpoint,
they don't really match up.
They're not that great.
There's a lot of guys in the league.
I mean, realistically, it's a bunch of white dudes out there running around, and
white
dudes, undrafted dudes. Yeah. I mean, guys that played quarterback in college, guys that didn't even play college football. They played lacrosse,
right?
And you can't man up and hold these guys. What kind of defense do you have?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, when you see a team like the Patriots in the skill position guys they run out there, if I'm a defensive back, to me that's a challenge to say, I got this guy, I got my guy, you get your guy, we're good.
But that's true. It's really true.
So for the Steelers to come out in a zone against a team that really, from an athlete's perspective, and granted, I know Julian Edelman's a good player. I think Chris Hogan's a good player.
Yeah, they NFL players, right?
And they're high IQ guys. They run crisp routes. They don't drop the ball very often.
Right.
You know, and everybody in Belichick's scheme.
And they got a hog throwing the ball to them.
That helps. Right. But everybody in Belichick's scheme does what they're supposed to do.
Right.
You know, and that's part of the beauty of it.
Yeah.
But from just a pure athlete standpoint, there's no reason you should come out and say, all right, guys, let's get in the zone. There's no way we can stop these guys one-on-one. It doesn't make sense to me.
You're not going to be able to do it.
It boggled my mind watching that. And then by the time that they switched to a man,
it was done.
It was too late. Yeah, I mean, they were already chasing at that point. But I thought a fatal flaw, at least from a coaching standpoint, for the Steelers to come out the way they did defensively was just really inexcusable.
Yeah.
Because and now, you know, if you were playing against the Falcons, okay. I mean, they've got some. Julio Jones is, you know, probably the best athlete
in the league.
In the league, no, I mean, question. He's probably the best wide receiver.
Beckham, that guy.
You like Beckham more?
He's
than
really
Julio?
Athletic. They're kind of the same.
What player
breed.
You like better?
They're kind of the same breed.
I like Julio better because he's just more physical.
Wait. Physical than Odell?
I think so.
Before Norman or after Norman?
That's different.
I know what you're saying, though. I think so, too.
I just think
he's
Julio's 6'3", one of those dudes.
225 or something like that.
He's one of those dudes, if you try and come up and hit him on the line, you might get tossed.
That's true.
And then there's nobody covering him.
Yeah, I think Julio is, you know, he's that dude.
Sure. Antonio Brown's the other guy people talk about as the best wide receiver in the league. But for me, Julio's just a complete package.
Yeah, he is.
And A.J. Green's in that conversation, too. I tend to like the big bodied receivers a little bit better than some of these other guys. So
AJ then Beckham, right?
That'd probably be my top three.
Them four right there, though.
Antonio, that's probably the four best.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I like Amari Cooper too. He's coming up on my list pretty quick too.
I like Amari too. He has good routes.
Yeah,
Julio runs really good routes too.
Julio does everything right.
By the way,
this is my
really
favorite thing
routes.
About Julio. When he's not in the play, he blocks.
No question.
I mean. Yeah. Antonio Brown ain't going down making blocks in the middle. Yeah. Anyway, he's just not built to do that. But Julio is.
Right.
I mean, Julio acts like a tight end when he's not in the play. I love him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't drop balls anymore like he did early in his career.
The only problem for him is he's had a hard time staying healthy.
Yeah. All right. Quick break.
Roll Tide.
We'll be right back.
Shout out Kareem Jackson.
It's the Q-Dip Show on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Q Demp Show. Also the Blitz.
With cussing away from. What's up, big guy?
We're going again. That's all.
We were talking about the garbage offer you made him.
Welcome back to the show, man. We had Sawgrass come out, get the best steak in Houston. You know, come out, chill with me and Fred and AJ. Q Demp Show.
And still happy hour until 7.
Nice.
So you can get your alcohol on. Yeah. That's what interests me. Now, I've pretty much been through the whole menu now.
Yeah.
I haven't had anything that sucked.
Me neither.
It's all been great.
I ate salmon today because I'm trying to drop some pounds.
Nice. The salmon's really good too, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Because since I broke my rib, I can't train. So it's just all I've been doing is running and lifting.
You broke it?
Yeah, I broke
Where?
It.
Where? Somebody punched you?
No, I was up doing cage work and trying to pull people off me, and I thought I strained my muscle.
Yeah.
And it hurt to cough and sneeze and laugh. Everything hurt. And so I start pushing on it. And my bottom rib moved 2 inches. I pushed it. It moved 2 full inches. I said, oh, man. I went to the doctor, and he said, yeah, it's definitely broken. So he said nothing for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But I sit around for four to six weeks.
Is it going to heal on its own?
Yeah.
That bone?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it takes you – I mean, it
just takes a while, right?
It takes a long time, and it doesn't take me – it takes longer to heal than it does for me to get fat. I promise you that. So I'll be weighing 300 pounds by the time that thing is right.
Right.
So – we're looking back on your season. You had a great year, no question.
Right.
Then why'd you make him that clown offer?
It wasn't a clown offer. I was starting low.
Yeah, that's right. Good one. That's
I'm
a good one.
Doing
that's good
what
job.
I do.
Good job. Let it be a businessman. That's right.
I had a number I would go to real easily, but I'm not going to start with that.
Yeah, okay. That's true. That's
the same thing I do with all my other businesses. I'm never going to come at you with exactly what I'm willing to pay.
Right.
That's just dumb. Who does that?
I underestimated your business, you know.
We talked about this a little bit off the air. What do you do if Cleveland calls you or if San Francisco calls you? Mm-hmm. Someone who, I mean, you don't have too many years left in the league.
Yeah.
You know, this might be your last contract. Your next contract might be your last one.
Right.
How important is it to you to be somewhere where you know the team will be competitive? Because you think about the Browns and the Niners, just look at their roster.
Yeah.
They're a long way away from competitive.
Yeah, I think at this point, man, it's really about getting on a team that's, you know, a contender for a championship for sure. You know, that's definitely first and foremost. But if a team is coming at me with numbers that show, like, hey, man, I respect you. You know, we respect your game, respect the work you put in this league. We're willing to pay this for you. It's a high number, and it's not a contender team. And I'm going where the respect is, you know.
You know, I'll ask you this, and this actually came from Lamont. It sort of leads into what I want to ask. Did you see Pat McAfee's reaction to Ryan Grigson being fired?
Nah, what did he say? I mean, that is crazy, too. What did he say?
There's not a lot of guys on the Colts who are real sad that Ryan Grigson's gone.
I know, yeah.
I mean, but
I heard, yeah.
When you hear something like that, you know,
what did he say though?
I'll have to pull up. I'll pull
okay,
up his exact
quote. I thought you knew. Okay, no worries.
But he was one of many Colts that came out with, you know, negative.
They,
basically,
they said negative stuff about him.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Him being a horrible human being and all kinds.
Falling
of stuff.
Falling asleep in his office. Yeah. Like they're talking about. Now we can finally go play some football. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody in that organization that liked Ryan Grigson.
Wow.
And I think that's the. It was the smartest move the Colts could have made.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. When they gave him an extension last year, I said, what, are they crazy?
Yeah.
And I think the only thing they could have done better was to fire Pagano, too, and start fresh.
Right.
And I, you know, we didn't talk about this. I wanted to today. If I'm the Colts, I would have fired Pagano today, too, and said, hey, Kyle Shanahan, before you sign anything in San Francisco.
I'm giving you the house to come over here.
We
please.
Got this dude, Andrew Luck. You might have heard of him.
I'm giving you the house to come
and
over here.
And you could maybe work with this guy.
Who's he going to have in San Francisco? They go in first round?
Who knows?
There's a lot of talk that the Redskins don't want to pay Cousins if they trade him there.
Nice. So. Cousins is pretty good.
Cousins ain't Andrew Luck, though. I know that.
Yeah.
But you really expect Irsay to be that smart to do that?
No, of course not. No.
That guy is a knucklehead.
But if that dude takes enough pills, maybe he gets hit with one of those drugged out moment of clarities. Like, you know what would be awesome?
Yeah.
If we had a good coach. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, with Ryan Grigson gone and supposedly the at least this is what we're hearing from Irsay and from Chuck Pagano, is the focus this offseason is going to be on the defensive side of the ball.
Defense?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, is that a team? I mean, it's got to be weird, though, when a team that you've looked at as a rival for most of your career, if they were to give you a call, I mean, is that I'm sure you can move on from things like that, right?
Yeah, I'm going with respect this.
Okay.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah. You guys know that. That's
you expect that.
That's dear to me.
When do you expect those conversations to really start up?
Well, I become a free agent March. I think March 13th or something like that. So,
is that when you expect to start talking to them, or do you think that they're going to try and? I mean, the Texans could reach out to you before that, right?
Right. The Texans could. That's the only team that could.
Are you? I mean, is that something when you talk about respect?
That'd be love.
Yeah, it'd be love for them not to wait until you're hitting the open market.
Yeah,
to say, hey, we want to get you locked up before anybody else has a chance to touch you.
That'd be huge for me, too.
Okay. Yeah. I've always wondered that. If a free agent – like, if I was a free agent, would I rather the team that I'm with –
Yeah, I'd rather stay here, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to go anywhere.
You like to feel wanted by the guy who's got you as opposed to, like, waiting and seeing, like, well, we're going to make you an offer, but then, you know, these guys might offer you better.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't seem like a – I don't know. I've always wondered, but I always think the idea of being a free agent and having people dote over you and, like, saying, hey, man, you could fit with us this way, you could play with this guy, and, like, just all these options opening up, that idea seems fun to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a football player, but if I was, that's what I would want to do. I'd want to be a free agent every year and figure out, hey, what's the best thing for me? What's the best fit for me right now?
Right.
But you've also said that you feel like this scheme and this team.
That wouldn't be an argument. Like, a team couldn't say we fit you better than Houston.
And it's also, it would be hard for a team to say we've got more talent on the defensive side than in Houston, because there's not many teams that could say that.
Right, exactly.
Well, getting back to what I was going to ask, was this in your mind, was this the best season that you've had in your career?
Yeah, no question.
Okay.
I believe so.
What was the difference for you, you think?
The
picks?
I just had it on my – you mean like the – comparing other seasons?
Yeah, like, what do you think put this season over the top for you?
Probably the pitch.
Or do you just think you were seeing the game a little bit more clear? Like, everything was – like, you know, does it happen where things come at you slower?
No, I'll tell you the truth. I missed like, seven tackles the whole year.
So
that's huge for a safety.
Yeah.
Like seven tackles the whole year I missed.
Yeah.
So I really focused on, like, tackling and making sure – every day I would, you know, work on tackling after practice. It was something that I really had on my mind to be better at, and sure enough, that's what I was a sure tackler this year.
When I watch film, specifically when I'm watching secondary guys, I always look for how often are, especially as a safety, how often are you chasing somebody on a big play?
Yeah.
And I can only think of one play, and I forget what game it was, but you got beat with a double move.
Oh, yeah, San Diego. Yeah.
And that's the one time where I felt like you just were supposed to be in a play, and
no question.
And like you said, that's a tough play. It's a tough play to stop.
Right.
But that was the one time I could picture where you could just got taken out of a play.
Yeah.
So if that's the only one I can think of, and I watched you play 14 games this season. Yeah. I mean, you missed seven tackles. How many picks did you end up with?
Six.
This has been a pretty complete season for you.
Yeah,
man.
I believe so.
And just watching you and. Because we were going to do the show together, I spent a lot of time watching what you did. Just always in the right position on the field, right where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times success comes from that.
Yeah.
It's that simple. If you're where the play is going and you're where you're supposed to be, you're going to make those tackles.
Yeah.
You're going to get those interceptions.
Yeah.
You're going to defend the passes.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have had a better season if JJ was playing.
Maybe. Who knows?
Dude's messing up your money, man. I'm gonna get his ass back out there.
Yo, I wanted to ask y'all a question. We got time?
We got one more full segment. Yeah. We're going to start off next segment with your question
for
us.
Okay, bet. All right, cool.
All right. We'll be right back. It's Q-Dep Show here on ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Sugarland. This is the Q-Damp Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you in part by Acme Party Intent. Here's Quentin Demps with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back. Come celebrate the Big Texas Party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. It's happening Thursday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities, all-you-can-eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com. Get tickets for as low as $125 for all that stuff. Plus, you get to meet cool people. I don't know what you're waiting for. And they're running out, so go buy the damn tickets. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. All right.
We did a radio tease, Quentin. You are in charge of the show now. You've got a question for us.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
There was a big debate amongst me and my teammates about this, too.
Okay.
Right? So it's a real quick, simple question, too.
Okay.
Does Tom Brady need Bill, or does Bill need Tom Brady?
If, now, let me start out by saying together is what makes them together is what makes him so magical.
No question. No
but
question.
This is just like the Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan thing.
No, that's not even close.
I think it is.
No.
I think if Bill Belichick coached Peyton Manning or coached whoever, he would win. I think Bill Belichick is the best
you think
coach.
Phil, if he had somebody else other than Michael Jordan, he would be.
Phil won with Kobe and Shaq.
No.
Kobe and won a bunch with him.
How many did Jordan win without Phil?
Jordan and Tom Brady are different to me, I think.
Okay. I mean,
but I can see why, you know, they might be in the same boat, greatest or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the greatest player with the greatest coach argument. Man, I always say it because players come and go. I think if I had to choose one, I would say I think Brady needs Belichick more.
Okay.
Because
what about you?
I'm kind of thinking the same thing, just because in the small sample size where we've had, where Matt Cassel played the entire year, they didn't make the playoffs, but they won 11 games.
Right, Garoppolo.
Garoppolo looked great the first two games.
Yeah.
And they beat you guys with a third string guy.
Right.
I'm going to go that way too, I think.
Tom Brady is great. I think he's the best quarterback ever.
Is he elite without Bill, though? Like, say somebody else coached him. Is he elite? Like, Aaron Rodgers would go anywhere and be elite to me.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, he's not a system guy.
Is Brady
a product of the system? Get the ball out quick, make good decisions.
I mean, that sounds like
these
good, that just sounds like good quarterback traits to me. Like, that just sounds like what you ask a quarterback
that's
to do.
That's all he does, though. Aaron does both now.
Now
I'm going to scramble out. I'm going to throw
a airs
deep
it out
two,
more.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, it's just more, he's more a total package to me.
Yeah.
Keeps the play going longer, I mean, with his feet.
Again, it's such a perfect fit, but Brady is just so precise, and the one thing I will say for Brady is for almost his entire career, he's had a bunch of bums on that offense
Truth.
With him, and he makes them go. It doesn't
Truth.
Matter who it is.
True.
I mean, Randy Moss is the one really legit stud that he had. Okay, and
wait,
Gronk
wait,
now.
So is that – so back to what I'm saying. Is that Bill getting the right guys to fit the system the right way? The little slot guys, the Amendolas, the Welkers, the dang Edelmans – You know what I'm saying?
It's such an organizational thing. It goes all the way up and down the line of that team. And let me tell you this. This is the other thing, and this is why I'll have more respect for Brady than damn near any quarterback in the league, and I hate the Patriots. Tom Brady is like the 20th highest-paid quarterback in the league. He has every right to be the highest-paid quarterback in the league, but he knows that if some of my money goes to these dudes on the defense – we've got a better chance of playing for a Super Bowl.
You think so?
I know so.
Or is it more so Bill being like, take this or I'll move on without you?
No. Bill wants. I don't think Bill's doing
Bill
that.
Bill is cutthroat, man.
I think Bill's cutthroat with everybody but Tom.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, it also helps that Tom's wife makes more money than him. So he's like the one guy in the league who's in the position
so
to do that.
He doesn't even care.
Like that money to him is that's play money. But it really is nice when you can add so much. Like, you can build a great offensive line, you know.
I just wanted to ask that. I don't want to get too far off. You guys have some more questions.
Because I think, like, what the Seahawks, when Russell Wilson got his money, that team is never going to be as good as it was.
You think so?
I don't think so. Because they've lost too many guys off that defense now, and they don't have the money.
Who they lose off the defense?
They lose guys off the defense every year.
Who?
The corners they lost.
That's impactful. Bryant, you think Maxwell was that impactful on the defense?
I mean, I think he was really good in Seattle.
Gotcha.
I don't think he's done anything since.
They didn't pay Russell Okung. Russell Okung offensive left. Line.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, I mean, just the
Marshawn retired because it just,
the guy went to the Raiders, Irvin.
Yeah, Bruce Irvin.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
They lost a few guys. But
I got you. That makes sense.
Hey, man, I've had a great time doing the show with you. Man. I appreciate you. I think you do a great job with us on this. I'm not just blowing smoke because we've worked with crappy dudes before. I think you're very good at this, man. I enjoyed
appreciate
it.
That,
I hope you're back here in Houston next year, my man.
Yeah, me too.
If not, I hope you get that respect, brother.
No, my man.
All right. Hopefully we'll do this again next year. But
he's going to be too high paid to deal with us next year.
All right.
I'll come back, man, for sure.
Thanks to Sawgrass.
We're out. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame you, Don.